This is Lele Pons from Suite 305 with Lele Pons. Game day at my house, it's chaos, but like in a fun way. The TV's ready, the remotes are ready, the kids' toys are going off, and somehow everybody needs batteries at the exact same time. That's why I keep Duracell stocked. And Duracell just released limited edition Duracell and Messi battery packs. The design is inspired by Messi's iconic left leg tattoo. So every battery feels like it comes with an extra kick. From the TV remote to automatic corkscrew, Duracell keeps us game day ready. Duracell double and triple A batteries are the only ones built different with power boost ingredients for long-lasting performance you can trust. Find the limited edition Duracell and Messi batteries in stores at Lowe's and Walmart or on Amazon.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp. I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Talking right now with attorney Eric Faddis, former felony prosecutor, discussing the case against Brian Koberger. How do you view the strength yourself, the admissibility of the genetic genealogy DNA as evidence, especially when sourced indirectly, like through Koberger's father? There's been a lot of attorneys that I follow, I'm sure you do too, on Twitter and such, maybe know as well, that are very much pointing at this as not being a very strong piece of evidence, where, you know, you flip it to another person that, you know, they're like, this is gold. How about you? What say you on that type of evidence, that piece to this puzzle?
Yeah, it's certainly so. The genealogical alleged link between Koberger's father, I believe, and some biological material on the knife sheath.
Yeah.
That's something. That's certainly something. But it's not as strong as having the defendant, Brian Koberger's DNA on there. Is there some sort of world in which the father made contact with that sheath? Is there some sort of world in which the DNA analysis analyst got it wrong and they thought they had a link when they may not have had the same link that they're sort of putting out to the public? These are questions that the defense attorney is going to have to scrutinize when they're looking at the DNA findings and see if that DNA evidence is attackable, because sometimes it is. And it looks like here it's at least possible that it might be.
In cases where you have things like that, the DNA evidence, but then you have a whole lot of other pieces, circumstantial pieces coming together, the admission that he has this behavioral pattern of habitual nighttime driving. How do you evaluate the relevance to the actual crime when something like that is thrown out there? Number one, it just kind of comes across creepy that he likes to go to drive around in the middle of the night. That seems kind of predatorish to begin with. But how does that play into the whole picture of who he is when trying to present an image to a jury?
Yeah, there's something a bit ominous about it, I guess. Like a dude who likes to drive in the middle of the nowhere by themselves in the night regularly. Is that a crime? No, it's not a crime. But is it something that sort of colors the impression that the jury might get of Brian Koberger in a negative way? You bet it is.
Yeah.
And so the defense put it out there. They're the ones who put it out there.
Yeah.
And so that could be a problem just in terms of the jury taking in the whole picture, the whole context of all of this, and saying to themselves, that's somewhat unusual. And it just so happens to kind of be consistent with a finding that a vehicle that looked like his was found darn near that murder scene on the night that all this happened. So I think it maybe more problematic than helpful to the defense. That's possible too.
Sure. And what I'm wondering about here with that being thrown out there into the ether of this case by the defense is how much does that tie into the phone pings? How confident is the defense that they're going to be able to poke a ton of holes into the triangulation of the cell phone and the GPS tracking of that cell phone? That is what is being thrown out there as a possible alibi. Because to me, it seems that if you're going to put that out there, that basically saying, yeah, he was driving around the area at that time. Yeah, we know there's all this factual evidence showing that he was driving in that area based on cell phone triangulation. It kind of reads to me like they're going to attack cell phone triangulation and tracking as being an inaccurate science by throwing that out there. What's your take on that?
Yeah, no, that's a keen insight. Like you said, the defense already knew that there's the cell phone triangulation that kind of places Koberger near the scene at certain times. I think he turned off his phone at some point. But yeah, so is this alibi just like a way to explain away all of that cell phone stuff? But another question that arises is, how are you going to convey that information about the driving to the jury? Koberger wasn't with anyone else. They can't get an investigator to get up there and say, hey, Brian Koberger told me all this stuff, because that's probably hearsay. I think in order for Brian Koberger to tell this jury that he goes on these late night drives and had nothing to do with his murder, he might have to get up there and tell him himself. And that would subject him to some rather perilous cross-examination in a quadruple murder case. So, you know, I think we can expect some fireworks one way or another from this trial if it gets there.
There's so many missing pieces to this case. Number one, an alibi, like we've been talking about, or the alibi they have being very weak or questionable. The other big piece that seems to be missing is a motive for the murders. We still don't know what that is. Everybody trying to speculate, and is he kind of an incel? Was he just, is this a jealous rage against young people who are attractive and enjoying life, and he's always been on the outside, and he snapped and wanted to get rid of those people who he viewed as shunning him or whatever it may be? How do you see them navigating that gap at trial? Obviously, alibi and motive was what I'm meaning. Motive not necessarily required in a defense, but certainly juries want to hear it. And do you see the prosecution coming up with some sort of a motive or just presenting the facts of what they know?
You know, I think they've got to provide the jury with some reason why the accused would commit such a heinous, egregious act that the prosecution's alleging. And like I said, motive, the prosecution doesn't have to prove it, but the jury's darn sure going to want to hear about it. And so they've got to come up with some reason why he did this. You know, I did read some reports that suggested maybe there was some social media interaction between Koberger and either the victims or the victim's friends or someone associated with the university, that the reports are still pretty vague at this point. But you know, is there some connection that they can unearth between Brian Koberger and these victims? Because that's what the jury wants to see, to suggest that some guy out of nowhere just happened to pick four people on a whim and off them in a totally intimate and grotesque way. That leaves some people with some questions, and you don't want to leave the jury with questions.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.